Welcome to the Short Rod Show. You're talking with Ben.
And you got Brett.
Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm down here in the basement, and Brett is out in his truck, out on his new property. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, we're kind of, this probably kind of maybe the new reality for the podcast, at least for, probably at least for this season.
Yeah, so
you made the jump.
Yep.
So yeah, I made a jump down to, if you're familiar with the area, and I think if you listen to the podcast over the last couple of years, is we strongly recommend when the ice is safe, head south to go fishing. That would just be my clean rule of thumb for ice fishing in Iowa.
Yep.
Just because the northern lakes, they just ice up earlier and they just kind of get pounded. Where these southern lakes, they don't get quite the pressure for as long of a period of time. I packed up the family and we headed south. So we are now located about 15 minutes north of Osceola, Iowa.
Yep.
Which is basically just straight south of Des Moines, right down I-35.
Almost Missouri.
I don't know. I don't know how far it is from Missouri.
You should pace it out.
We're a county and a half north of Missouri.
There you go.
So however far that is.
Yep.
Yeah. Really two counties because we're on like the Warren County line. So that's what, 45 miles?
Yeah.
I think, give or take, that a county is 20 miles wide.
It's kind of deceiving. 25. Yeah, coming from Ankeny being so far north of Des Moines, really. And you look at it.
Yep.
Where we're at and then heading down to visit you guys over the weekend. Yep. So it's a little bit of a hike.
It is a little bit of a distance, but what's nice is being right on 35. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say we're not right on 35. We're 6 miles east of 35, but you can get places once you hit the four lanes.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, it doesn't feel, my commute to work's 50 minutes.
Yep.
So it just doesn't feel like we're completely out in the middle of nowhere. But at the same time, I can go sit on my back deck and be in complete silence.
Yep.
Which is it. The first day we were here and I had coffee and breakfast out on the deck, I was like, you really noticed how quiet it really was versus living in town.
Oh yeah.
Pretty excited about it. It's been kids are doing well. You guys came out and visited. I think Henry's ready to move down the street.
Oh yeah, he's
there. Is a place
boy
down
now.
The road, down the gravel that is for sale.
Perfect.
It's a little fixer upper.
Oh yeah,
you're handy enough.
Pretty much all are, aren't they? Just to whatever degree you're looking for. No, it's a really cool setup and really excited for you to get down there. And some big news there, having a pond on site.
Yep, pond on site, half-acre pond, a little over a half-acre pond. I've done a little, I've fished it twice now, have yet to catch anything out of it. But they did assure me there are fish in there. But, I mean, they were pretty weak attempts. I mean, one of the times that I count as two times was with you, Ben.
Yeah.
So it was like five casts.
Five casts with our kids reeling them back in. So
yeah,
not a lot of finesse there.
Quarter ounce jig in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have high hopes there for this winter. Get that sucker frozen over and we'll get out there.
I've got some high hopes here in the forecast. We've got like an inch and a half in the next couple days that I'm really hoping we'll get some runoff and kind of fill that pond back in a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be good. Freshen it up a little bit. Yep.
It's about 6 foot off the dock. 6 foot deep.
Yep.
But I don't know. I don't know what maximum depth is out there.
Yeah. It looked pretty steep.
Yeah, that dam is pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like from the backside of it. But I think that can be deceiving. It's a 15-year-old pond. I think they built it in 07, 05, 06, something like that. So if they're fishing, and there's definitely fish in it because there's no frogs. When we came to look at it in October, it wasn't a big frog pond. So there's definitely a fish in there at least. But we'll see if we can catch them this winter.
Yeah, there's probably some big cats in there too then.
I'd be pretty stoked about that. That'd be pretty sweet.
That'd be awesome.
So absolutely. Yeah, before we started the podcast, Ben and I were talking, I've been super pumped about the listener response and conversation that we've had over Facebook and email and all that sort of stuff. But another thing that I'm kind of getting more curious about, I don't know that I'm ready to really do anything about it yet, but is just wrap my head around pond management.
Ooh,
like, what are some things I could do to this pond right now to really kind of bolster that? I'm talking like habitat, get an idea what kind of fish species are in there. Is there anything I should think about stocking? Is there anything I should think about, like, water pH, aquatic plant life? I should, because right now I don't see any plants in this thing, but the water's pretty low. Maybe there's just, there are no weeds that were growing in it before. The drain, what I am pretty excited about, though, is so it's a dammed up ravine is basically what it is. But what flows into it, it's all flowing off of CRP. So there's no corn, it's not flowing, there's no cornfields or anything flowing into it to get fertilizer and stuff in it. So we shouldn't have too bad of like an algae bloom, that sort of thing, during the summer. So I am pretty stoked about that part.
Yeah, it's a really cool setup there. And I think that could play right into it, right, with the lack of weeds and all that. But be interested to see what our listeners think about some pond management tips, if there's some things, like you said.
There
if
is some structure on the bottom, though. I can confirm there are a few patio chairs that have fallen off the dock at some point in time and that are just right off the dock in the water.
Yeah, and those that has given you crap when we were out there, but those other two that were sitting on the dock probably could fall in, too. That wouldn't be
the end of the world. Well, yeah, I'd prefer them not to be in there. I'll probably fish the other ones out and put some real structure in there at some point. Yeah,
get your magnet out. Start dragging the magnet around it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That would be a good idea.
Yep.
See what you find out there.
Yeah, maybe
a murder weapon.
What else are we talking about today, or what do we want to cover on today's episode? Because we're getting back in it after getting a classic episode out there and getting you all moved in. And
well, I do want to first thank you, Ben, for picking me up a... the clam grain belt collaboration bucket with my 24 beers of grain belt light.
Absolutely.
Which I didn't know they made even a grain belt light. I think all I've ever had is the grain belt regular, but they're not too bad.
They're all right. Yeah.
I've got three to polish off here during this podcast. So I think we'll be
crack one open here right now.
We'll have time.
Here we go. Yep.
I'd say it's like an ultralight Miller. Like, it doesn't quite have the strong Miller flavor, but maybe that's the light part.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what the calories are on this. It's probably real light. Real light.
It's made for ladies, I think.
Yeah, it could be. It's blue. Blue and, like, gold.
But otherwise, yeah, super appreciative of that, man. I'm pretty stoked about
that. Yeah, no, I'm glad. Glad we found
it. Well, my thought is I feel like that's going to be, like, in 10 years, people will see that bucket on the ice and be like, shit, that guy's been fishing for a while. He knows what's going on. Like, that's what that bucket, because it's like, hopefully it's only this year that they do it.
Yeah.
And then it's only like those few folks that you see on the ice with that bucket. And for the first 5 years, it won't matter. But in like 10 or 15 years, when you see that bucket out there, you're going to be like, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice bucket. It's like a 6 gallon, you know, the tall size. If you want to sit on it, that's a good height.
Yeah.
Right now, it's got a turkey brining in my fridge for the second time, which that's working out real nice.
Nice.
So filled it up.
Just check to see if this was a food grade bucket.
Don't care. I put a turkey brining bag in it and just need something to contain
it. You lined it.
Yep.
Okay.
Which is basically, the turkey brining bags are a joke because they're basically just a clear plastic garbage bag.
Yeah.
Makes you feel a little better about doing it.
Yeah. They're not getting, well, then you're not getting all those BPAs in your turkey.
Mm-hmm. Made in China, so who knows? Who knows what they put in the plastic?
Yep.
It'll be good, though.
Or phthalates, I think is what they call that also, that you get out of your plastic.
That's true. Hey, so one thing, this episode's coming out on Christmas. The day before Christmas. Christmas
day
Eve.
Day before Christmas. Merry Christmas,
man. It's coming right up. Well, Merry Christmas to you, too. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, I did grab that beaver dam you gave me. I do appreciate that.
Yes. So we got a plain red beaver dam classic tip up.
Yeah.
To add to Brett's collection.
Well, that'll probably go right to the top, because otherwise I just got the Chinese versions.
See, I thought for some reason you had at least one beaver dam.
Nope. I never pulled the trigger on the beaver dams. I went for quantity rather than quality.
Yeah. Well, now you can start flipping them over to the best.
Yep. Well, yep. I'll just keep this one out on that pond.
Yeah. All winter.
Full time. Right? Full time and see what comes up.
You keep a spud bar by it so you can just chip it out of the ice if you get something on it.
Well, I mean, we are in southern Iowa. I mean, it's not going to freeze to the ice. It'll thaw out by the afternoon for sure.
I really hope we get some good fishable ice on that pond.
Well,
really,
you know what's going to happen. You know, I've been telling you about my childhood fishing experiences of, you know, like never really being on ice more than about 8 inches.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to start resorting back to some of those techniques of jumping on it real good before you check it out. I can get the hand auger back out.
Absolutely.
Because I only have a couple inches to punch through.
Yep.
And I've got plenty of home projects because the regular drill is going to be tied up probably for a while.
You might have to break out. I took my Eskimo gas auger down there too, so you might have to break that out.
Yeah. We've got some fence to build on the new place, so Ben brought me his Eskimo gas auger with the earth and ice bit, so I'll just keep run the ice bit for a little bit, and then in the spring we'll run the earth bit.
Yep, run some gas through it. Thing's got like 1 hour on it, I think, total in 10 years.
I'll probably put at least 5 hours on it here this spring.
That's good for it. Really worker in.
Yep. Yeah, we got some posts to dig. That's going to make Thomas, he's going to be a tough little sucker when he's done.
That'll really beef him up. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. But yeah, I wanted to touch on the ice show a little bit too. So I know, you guys heard the episode with my brother, which by the way, that I think just blew up. That was our top downloaded episode in quite a while. So thank you all for listening.
That might be all time.
It might be. Yeah. I mean, it just took off and soared. So you guys really, really appreciated that. Leave some comments, let Alex know how he did. He wasn't too sure, but after that, I told him he did a great job.
I told you, Alex is a star, man. He did good.
Yep.
You guys would talk over each other a little bit, but I think that's just a brotherly thing.
Probably, yeah. I'm trying to just get my jabs in when I can, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and you guys at home may not realize it, but it's not super easy to record on mics, and it's not necessarily natural to hear yourself in a headphone, set of headphones while you're trying to talk. But then you kind of drift away from the mics usually. That's at least I do that all the time still, where you have to listen to yourself to know, okay, I'm getting away from it. I need to get back towards the mic because I start drifting off. So. It's not all that easy.
Takes me an episode or two to get into the groove of keeping your nose to the mic.
Yep.
Then after that, yeah, it's no big deal. But
keep your nose to the mic without touching it.
Yeah, don't touch it.
It makes a funny noise, but yeah. So I guess I'll jump in on the ice show here because I'm excited about this. So couple of the items. We talked about all kinds of stuff that we picked up at the ice show. The little items, some of the bigger stuff.
Touch on that waxworm feeder again, quick.
Yeah,
Abby said it was a great. Your wife said it was a great investment.
Yeah, she wasn't real impressed on this bait load, the waxy wizard. But yeah, you haven't really seen it yet, Brett.
No, I haven't.
Hard to explain if you're not looking at it. It's hard to explain, but basically, this is going to keep your waxies loaded up. All vertically, right, lined up in kind of like I was thinking about it the other day. You know what like an old school slide projector looked like? The big tray of slides that you set in it?
Yeah.
And then that rotates around? It looks kind of like that.
Oh,
so
okay.
So just replace slides with waxies.
See, I was imagining when you were describing it as like a little revolver, I was imagining like a little stubby pistol and you'd click it in the head of the wax when it would poke out of the tip of the barrel.
Nah, that's the next million-dollar idea there. Mm. The waxy pistol.
Gotcha.
This has slots in it, though. So you can just slide the opening of the top, which is just one waxy width wide, basically. Yep. And then you can just hook a waxworm without ever taking your gloves off, basically. You can just hook it right in there. And then when you want another one, you just slide it over to the next opening and do the same thing. So
yeah, that would be handy. Not having to take your gloves off.
Yes. That's huge. Some of the days you just don't want to. So makes sense. Absolutely. And then, the waxy wizard, that's a pretty big hit.
Waxy wizard. That's what it was called.
The waxy wizard. Yeah.
All right. Alex Zimmerman, if you're listening, waxy wizard.
Yeah. And you can get them at baitload.com.
He sent me a message and I forgot what it was called. So this is his call out now for him to listen.
A waxy wizard. Not too bad. Pretty sweet. The other thing, so Widowmaker Lures has their medium jig box. that is now similar to their suitcase, the tungsten suitcase. So it has the same materials with the squishy foam, kind of the, you know, compression style, which I'm a big fan of now. I almost want to just switch all my stuff over to the compression foam.
Because without that, my stuff just comes out. Like I like the clear sides, but your stuff just falls out. Eventually, over time, it just falls out.
Yeah, it's a pain. I mean, it's nice to be able to see everything, but the compression foam, you have to open it up to see what's inside.
Yep.
I guess that's the only downside.
But your stuff's not falling out and get all hooked up around each other either. And
yeah, it's just all loaded up, ready to go. So if you're like me, like I like to keep my stuff organized to where I know what's in each side. So like I might keep spoons in one side, jigs on the other, right? Pretty basic. So then, okay, you know, the side with the logo, that's your jigs, and the side with the spoons, that's the other side, right? It's not too hard to keep track of, but one thing that was kind of funny, I don't know if this guy's listening at all, but it might be a long shot. When we were at the ice show, we were hanging out at the Widowmaker booth, talking with folks and talking with Brian, the owner, and a guy came running back over carrying one of these medium jig boxes. And he's like, "Hey, you forgot you forgot half my jigs. You said I was going to get, you know, this color and that color, and it didn't come in this container, right?" And he hands it over. Well, he only had half of it open.
Oh.
He opened up one half and he's like, "Yes, there's only half my jigs in here." And I think Brian took it, flipped it over, and showed him, was like, "See, there's two sides."
There you go, boss.
Oh my gosh, the guy was super happy. He's like, "Oh my gosh, that's great. Like, I can fit twice as many jigs now."
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Nice.
I love that. Love that stuff. So, got a pleased customer there because he can hold twice as many jigs as before.
Yeah. How many jig boxes did you stuff? 10?
No. I have the Lake Effect jig box. So, that's kind of my backup one now. I might give this to my son and just let him store some stuff in it. So that's an interesting design. It's got the compression foam sections in there, but then it's still a clear plastic top. So I don't know. That's kind of a hybrid. I don't know if that's really
a little bit good for him to put rocks in or something.
Yeah. Yeah, just something. Something real, real useful. Yeah. But otherwise, I've been really using the heck out of that tungsten suitcase. I know you saw that.
Yeah,
a little while back, but I restocked all that.
Well, I like that.
Got that back.
That was a medium size. You said you had
the new one
fit real nice in your pocket.
Yeah, this new one is like, you know, handheld size. It's 5 4.5 inches, 5 inches, something like that.
For me, that's pretty much a requirement. Like, I just don't have that many jigs to do that in the first place. And I mean, I have enough jigs and spoons that I can carry them all in my pocket at once. So something like that would be pretty slick.
Yep. Yeah, and then the other piece Widowmaker had this year was their UV light. They upgraded that. So the previous light, if you remember, you know, worked really well, but it had multiple modes. This is just your basic,
I didn't really like that.
Basic on, full power, off.
Yep.
Right.
I just want it full power all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And this thing is, it's sharp. It's bright. Yeah, this would really charge your jig. So just looking at some of the jigs, it really lights them up. I like that. So for a few bucks, I mean, these are under 10 bucks.
Like, oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It's a good.
So that one's full power all the time now.
Full power, just one mode.
Does it just run off a AAA battery? Or
one double A.
Sort of special battery. Double A battery.
One double A, which that'll last you a while.
Nice.
And then the other thing I want to touch on, Hog Outdoors lights.
Okay.
I picked them up.
Yep.
And I can't remember if I talked about them last time, but
these are shack lights, or what are you talking
shack
about?
Shack lights.
What kind of lights are we looking
at? Okay. I'm just pumped about them because I actually tried them out and got them to work, ran them off a Milwaukee battery just to test, and they're nice. They're like this milled aluminum, and they have these straps that hook them to your shelter, to the shelter bars. I was impressed with them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So they're not like flexible, like like a strip light or something.
Nope. So they're like a channel. Let me pull one out here. throwing stuff around on the pool table here, but they're like a channel of aluminum, so like a big aluminum heat sink. Mm-hmm. And then they have these LED strips, you know, recessed in there, and then they're covered over with like a epoxy, like a clear epoxy.
Oh,
so like they,
that is pretty sweet.
Yeah, they put some effort into actually sealing these up pretty well.
Yep.
So
they're pretty rigid. You don't have to worry about them like breaking or.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. So I have three bars.
Three bars.
Yep.
And you got three bars that hold the shack up. That'll be perfect.
Yeah. So I figured it would be nice. You know, the one thing I don't mind about my Otter lights, but I wish I would have put more in, is just to get light towards the front. Like I really just need light, not shining at that front bar back into your face, but I want it from that front bar just right down to the hole.
At the hole,
you know, I want to be able to make sure I can see pretty well there.
Yep.
These have a nice dimmer on them. They're not the super bright white LEDs too, and I like that.
Oh, that's fine.
No, these
are more of like a yellow.
Yeah, they're more like a natural kind of light. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're not gonna like just strain your eyes after. You know, half the night or whatever.
Over time, sitting in that dark shack with just white light on you all the time, that certainly taxes your eyeballs after a
while. I wouldn't even call that. The Otter ones were like kind of bluish light. They were so, you know, so off that color, you know, out there. They were pretty blue. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So I was excited about that.
You know, for those, how much did those run you?
They're $45.
Oh, that's not bad.
For as much work as they put into those bars. That was two bars. And I bought the third. So I think that third was $15.
Nice.
So I got $60 in it with more light than the Otter lights. I think these are built better.
What do these hook up? Like, how's their power connection? Is it just alligator clips or is it like a bullet?
Yeah. So that's the other connector? That's the other thing with these, the starter kit. So couple options here. Oh, what is this? Oh, maybe it is just one option. Okay, never mind. It has the two-prong SAE connector, you know, like a battery tender connector.
Yep.
That's what you get on the end.
Perfect.
So you could hook that up, you know, straight to, you know, your LiveScope battery, or I'm going to run it off a DeWalt adapter and put a barrel plug on it.
Yep.
So that's easy.
Barrel
enough.
Plug, that's what I meant, not bullet plug.
Hack that right off. Actually, which side is this? I got so many wires on the pool table here. This is ridiculous. Oh, okay, no. So it comes with a barrel plug, or the not the barrel plug, the SAE adapter to male terminals. Okay. Yep. Male terminals and then the SAE. So a couple different options, which is good.
Yep.
I like that. It's flexible. Yep. The other thing is... Yeah.
That'll just replace what you have for your Otter lights right now.
Yeah, I'm just going to take those out. I don't know what I'm going to do with those necessarily. I might try wiring them into my pickup bed and just put them under the rails or something just to get some kind of light in there, you know?
Yep.
Not let them go to waste. Wire it off the trailer plug or something.
Well, here's what you should think about doing. Speaking of Henry and just giving him that stuff, is get yourself a little shack for Henry and just start... As you're done with it, just put it in his little shack, and then by the time he's 8 or 9, he's fully loaded.
Yeah. I don't mind doing that, but I feel like that's giving him way too much of a head start.
Well, that and you're just accumulating more shit in your garage.
Yeah, we don't need that. I worked hard for those Otter lights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep them, put them in something.
Well, you could still keep them in the shack. Put them on the along the tub or something like that to get some more light on the ice or something.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or like headlights on the shack as you're driving, or taillights actually.
What?
On the back of the shack, so you can see if something falls out.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's usually what I do on my shack when I'm pulling it off the ice. Is I point my light backwards.
Yeah. Yep.
If I'm pulling out at night, I point my little work light backwards. That way, if something falls out, I can see it in the back as I'm going. Because I got my headlamp to look forwards.
I'm kind of to the point, though, where I feel like we have the perfect level of gear within our gear. Like, all the gear that we take, we use. Yep. But then we're not taking a bunch of extra stuff in general that we don't use.
Yeah.
And then I feel like if wiring in extra lights and stuff, like, that's cool. But I don't know.
Is it needed?
Isn't needed. Drilling more holes in my sled.
Yeah.
And then here's the other thing that I've been thinking of. If I ever upgrade my Otter,
yeah,
that's going to be a bear just trying to get it back to how it was. You know, like,
yeah, you're just gonna have to sell it as is because there's gonna be a million holes in it.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, to build another one that has the same functionality, that's like, okay, buy another diesel heater or try and swap that one, cut all these holes in it, you know, get all these mods going in it, do the fancy Hi-Fax and get it, you know, get this whole setup done. So, the more I add to it, the more I'm like, man, if I
upgrade. Speaking of that Hi-Fax, how's that holding up? Have you been checking it?
Yeah, I just checked it when I got the shelter out the last time in the driveway just to fire up the heater and all that. So it's good. There's one section that's getting thin on the front, just on one side, right?
Oh, really?
You know, in that bend of the you know, the angle of the sled, like
that's where it always wears out. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm dragging it on my
concrete.
It's
just on one spot, like one rail.
One rail, right? The outer rail. Right, right on the outside edge. Yep. But I'm dragging it on concrete. I'm generally lifting up the back and pivoting on that, you know, the front section.
I feel like what really gets it is when you're pulling off the ice onto the boat ramp and people are still in the sled.
Yeah.
And you're pulling it up concrete while people are still in the sled.
Yeah, that's not great. Not great on it.
Yeah.
It does pretty well, but it can't. It can't slide you across concrete with 450 pounds on it.
Well, I mean, I don't weigh that much, but yeah.
two guys, there you go. Yeah, I don't know. I should weigh it. I feel like it is. It's pretty hefty.
But that's your, this will be year three? Two. Three.
On the Hi-Fax? Year three. Yeah. This is year three. Yep, going into year three.
So we're coming into year three.
Yeah. And that's
not too bad.
No, on that Otter Hi-Fax, that's just real soft. Real soft.
That Otter Hi-Fax only made it 2 years, I think.
Real thin. Yep. It's funny. We were at Fleet Farm last weekend and took the kids there, had my brother and his kids, and they're all running around the store checking out all the animal mounts and, you know, the decoys and everything. And we go back, check out all the ice shelters, you know, and a guy and his wife were there. And they have all the sleds out, right? And well, all the Otter sleds, you could tell, like, they just had them sitting outside on their, like, rack in the outdoor lumber yard all summer, right?
Yeah.
Covered in dust. There's some mud and stuff sitting in one, you know, at the top of, you know, the top of the, each top sled in every stack or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of looking at them, just, you know, seeing what they got for deals, and they really nothing was on sale for sleds. But all of a sudden this guy comes walking out with he had the Magnum sled. He got the biggest one. He had it slung over his head, walking out of Fleet Farm, going back to the checkout counter. And his wife was just shaking her head. She's like, why the hell are we buying this? Just buying the sled. Right. And I don't know how many people just buy a Magnum Otter sled, but good for you.
You never know. Maybe he's got a situation where he's got a couple kids and he tows them behind his main sled.
Man, you would be so spoiled if you're a kid riding in a sled behind a quad or snowmobile, whatever. That's like, that's Taj Mahal of all.
I mean, what do you expect?
Sleds. Yep. That is an Ankeny sled. Ankeny special.
Yep.
That's funny. I thought that was pretty cool because I've never actually seen someone buy a sled like that and just walk out of the store, just huffed over their head. It's like a 7 foot by
it's huge.
5 foot, you know, just monstrosity.
That's like a thing like you drive around back to go pick up sort of thing.
Yeah, no, he was just walking right out of the front, so he was going to go scan it and go. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're pretty restricted down here to Tyson's.
I do like Tyson's. I like that a lot.
I tell you what, their leg up is big fan of the popcorn.
That's huge.
Big fan. The family's been a big fan of the popcorn.
How do you think they get all those farmers to come in?
Well, you just end up buying so much more shit because I go in there and get the stuff I want, and then I get the popcorn, and then I just kind of walk around until
then
the bag's
gone. I might as well
you throw three or four more things in your cart.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, that's a good That's a good Dubuque store.
Yep.
They were founded in Dubuque.
Oh, really?
In the day. Yep. That's where
they're. I didn't know that.
That's where their DC is at as well.
Huh. Now I had to buy about two gates there. Two 10-foot tube gates.
Oh, those are the gates in the front of your place?
Yep.
Oh, nice. Yep.
They should have given me
farm stuff.
Some free stuff while I was there for as much as those gates cost. But
yeah, what are those? One of those run?
$210
each.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I could weld a gate together for less than that.
Shit, when I saw how much those things were.
Because we're not talking, you know, 3-inch tube or anything. These are like 1-inch tube.
Yeah. No. And it's not foot. Like super heavy duty.
No.
One 10-footer and one 12-footer.
Yep. Jeez.
Yep. $200. This spring we'll use your auger and put in the fence. And then I was actually eyeballing an automatic fence opener so I don't have to get out and open that damn gate every time.
Oh, for sure. I would. Buy one of those lithium batteries with a little solar panel keeping her charged.
Yep. And before people think I got my pinky out with my gated driveway, it's because our frontage road is a highway and we got a whole pack of dogs at this place between ours and my mother-in-law's that they just got to get off the highway.
Yeah. Mostly. They're not quite accustomed to staying away from the road probably.
Well, they get a real pack mentality to those suckers. Like each one of them, there was just two and two, like two at her house, two at our house. They were fine.
Okay.
But now it all four of them get running around. It's like they're like in a pack,
yeah,
and they're ready to seek and destroy.
good thing you don't have a lot of traffic out there. That's nice.
Oh,
like
you said,
it's quiet.
Yep.
I don't know if there was three cars that drove by the whole time we were out there.
Well, I don't know how long this podcast has been going by, but there's only been one car go by so far. Oh, here comes another over the hill. So two cars.
Yep. People coming in from town.
Yeah.
Heading back out.
Damn townies.
The townies, right. The townies. Yep, you're out in the country now. Yep. So, Brett, tell us about the weather lately. Because I know it's been on top of mind for lots of folks.
Well, I can tell you one thing, is it's been beautiful December weather to move a home, move your family. Wonderful weather to be moving in. For December. I was pretty nervous about that. I was like, man, it could be snowing. It could be just, you know, terrible out here.
Yeah.
We did catch one day a little bit of flurries, but for ice fishing, terrible.
Terrible.
Super terrible. We had a little skim ice on the pond when we first moved in last week.
Just enough to get you fired up.
Well, just enough to make Thomas mad that he couldn't actually go fishing because you can't get anything through. Yeah, we couldn't break through the ice with the lure, but it was way too thin to go out there.
Yep.
But now it's, no ice in sight, barely getting below freezing at night. What'd you say? Fishable ice, Hackensack, I think you said?
Yeah, and I was looking at the ice report app, which...
Yep.
That thing's kind of hit or miss. I mean, there's folks on there that legitimately enter in, you know, they're standing on a lake and they know how to measure ice and they enter in an accurate measurement. But then there's some where you can just tell. It's like, there's no way you were there and you actually got that reading from a lake there. So yeah, basically as it stands now, no ice in Iowa that's fishable. Clear Lake might be close, but it kind of goes up and down.
The thing about Clear Lake is if you're not afraid to get wet, you can be a little ballsy because it's only the water you're fishing, like where the fish are at, is only 3 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can be a little bit gutsy if you're not afraid to get wet.
Sure.
It's not like you're going to fall in and be in 20 foot of water and not be able to touch the bottom.
Yeah. Still might be a bad time, but.
Yeah. But you can be a little bit gutsy with it.
Yeah, I don't know. The way the weather's been here, it's been 50 degrees every day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I don't think you can fish Clear Lake right now. I think earlier in the week they got out.
Yeah.
Like a few people got out a little bit, but.
Yeah. Heading to work, it's 40 degrees in the morning. It's like, dang it, didn't even get down below freezing to do anything. Yep. So that's just very frustrating down here.
And
the
it's
lower
not
end of the ice belt.
Like this weekend's supposed to get some rain. Which I'm a little excited about the rain to help fill this pond up a little bit, but even then, like the lows are like 31 after this front comes through.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
In the 10-day. So, well, I don't know if we'll be... we won't be on ice before the first of the year, I don't imagine.
I know. It's just kind of disappointing. I've been trying to trying to figure out if I can jet up north a little bit here in between the holidays.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not going to make any promises, but sure like to get out and at least get on the hard water.
Yeah, it's not as easy to just jet on up to go quick fish Minnesota as it was back in the day, has it been?
Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got away with that in 2020. That was a good recap episode.
Yeah, our wives weren't quite as tired as they are now.
No. We're worn down.
We each only had one kid at that point.
Yeah, I didn't even have a kid. No, I had a kid.
So we only had one
kid. Just one kid that was kind of, they just hung out all day and slept.
Oh, yeah, Henry was pretty fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, that was a good recap episode. So when Brett and I were talking, if we could record or what we had going on, Brett's like, why don't we just look back like 3 years? Go back 3 years, pull the episode up from around that date. Let's put that out. And I went back and listened to it. I was like, man, this was good stuff. So live bait versus plastics.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
Man,
yeah,
can't beat it. So we'll have to do a little recap, a redo, and revisit that this year.
Oh, live bait versus plastic?
Yeah, but I do want to get out on the ice at some point first, though.
Well, I would like to also, yeah.
I feel like we're just rusty.
I mean, eventually we're going to hit a point here on this podcast. I got nothing to talk about until we can start fishing.
Yeah.
Like, usually we can start getting on the ice here, and then now or within a week.
Yeah, it's so like last year, it was now. We were out on the ice now.
Yeah.
Around the area, even. We didn't have, you didn't have to go too far.
I start to run out of things to talk about theoretically for ice fishing or gear.
Yep.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. I really hope that pond of yours freezes over pretty quick, because that can be a real test bed of lots of different.
Oh, if it gets below freezing things at all, it always skims over every night.
Yeah.
If it gets below freezing. So, I mean, the water temp's there.
Yep.
It She's just ready. Needs a couple days in a row to lock up, and we'll be ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That'll be pretty cool.
How are the ponds looking up there?
They're looking pretty darn bare.
Yeah.
Not much to look at. Pretty depressing.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we have one pond in particular that, I mean, that's the first to freeze. And it did have skim ice on it, you know, about that time you were talking about moving in.
Oh, yeah.
Your place, but that lasted all of about a day and a half, 2 days. Then she was gone.
That's tough.
Yep.
Dang it.
Yep.
Dang it.
But yeah, if you guys are getting out on the ice, I did want to touch on the guys up on Red Lake. So some crazy stuff going on up there. The big ice rescue that happened, that was on last Sunday, so two weeks ago.
What, a big chunk fall off the break off?
Yep. And there's, I think, 35 people that they rescued in an airboat.
Dang.
So yeah, that it got real windy real quick and just pushed the ice right out.
Man,
broke a chunk off.
I couldn't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah,
it'd be pretty daunting.
It sounded like one of the guys, I mean, he was pretty, the news video is pretty funny, but I don't know that they even really realized it until it was, you know, you go back, because if you don't have your GPS on, you're not going to notice moving 5 feet in 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah, but out of 35 guys, you'd think somebody has a GPS unit.
Yeah. Yep.
And is thinking about moving.
Yep. I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah. Man, that'd be...
Yeah, you know, let's go try a new hole here, and you start moving on, and you're like,
nah.
Oh, I'm moving right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was interesting. And then another guy...
You wouldn't notice that your lines are moving in the hole? You don't think?
I don't think so.
You don't think you'd notice that?
No.
You think it's not moving that fast?
I don't think it was moving all that fast. But yeah, maybe someone that was up there can jump on in and comment. Let us know how it went.
Or if anyone that's been a part of that kind of situation.
Yeah, that would be freaky, getting up on a chunk
of ice. I'd be real interested to talk about your... If someone listening to this has been in that situation where you're on ice that breaks off and you're floating off, we'll get you on this podcast and chat about it.
I was reading about guys that they take ramps and like they take stuff that you can cross a 10-foot gap. You know,
they just take it with them.
Yeah, just as a precaution. Like, yeah, if we can catch it in time. In case
there's a heave or something that comes up while you're there. If you
catch it in time, that would make sense. You could, all right, we got to get off. Run over there, lay down your ramp, and run across.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I pushed the limits a little bit on the ice thickness. I don't think I'm going to be pushing the limits on whether my ice is going to stay where I, left it.
Yep, agreed. That's a big deal. And then the other guys that were up landing their plane on Red Lake and broke through.
Well, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen anything, man. Right. I've barely been on the internet.
Do you even have internet down there? Speaking of that.
Yeah, actually, I've been very impressed with it, but yeah. Mostly streaming YouTube Kids.
YouTube Kids, there you go. Now, these guys were actually taking their plane to go ice fishing on Upper Red Lake.
That's a power move.
And there's no snow on the ice up there. So that to me is like, that's sketchy.
How are you going to get stopped?
Well, that's what I don't think they... I think they underestimated how much distance it would take to stop your plane. Okay. Because it sounded like they landed, they were fine, they were on, you know, decent enough ice. And then they kept going because they couldn't stop, and then they just fell right into ice that was like an inch thick, they said.
Oh, shit.
And I had to get rescued, pulled out. But
that's crazy.
Yeah, they made it out. They were fine. So they got the plane recovered.
No snow up there, huh?
Uh-uh. Yep.
Wow, that kind of surprises me.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I was thinking the other day with the crazy season, right? It hasn't been cold enough for what we normally get for ice, but an airboat's really sounds appealing right now. If you think about it, they're using those to rescue those guys up on Upper Red Lake.
Oh, yeah.
But then also just to get out on ice that you don't really know if it's going to be good or not.
Yeah.
I think airboats are going to make a little bit of a comeback.
I mean, did they ever really leave?
I think they did. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's only so big of a market for an airboat.
Yep. I think that's the tough part, you know.
But I will tell you, there's stretches of the river that I like to frequent that's the only motored way you're going to get there.
Yeah.
Airboat. Otherwise, you're paddling.
Yep. Yep.
And yeah, if you really want to get serious about this Guttenberg Mississippi fishing, airboat would be a big step up.
That was cool hearing that airboat just ripping the landing open.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. Yeah. I think airboats kind of had their heyday, but they're coming back a little bit because of just the technology that you can get in them. I mean, you can get a good hull, put your polycarbonate, you know, plastic coating over it, so it really just skims.
Slides.
And then you're not beating up your hull on everything.
We'll trade in the Clark.
Yep. Yep.
Or see if they can't mount the fan on your back of your boat.
I do want to check that out. I think that'd be sweet.
It's going to take a hell of a big fan to mount on the back of your boat, Ben.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, we need probably even more than like a 350 Chevy. The guys that really do it up, they got big block Chevys and
well, I don't know if it's a matter of how big of a motor. I think it's a matter of how big that fan blade is. I think you're gonna be looking at like a 12-footer.
Just put a huge one on it.
Yeah.
Set her up off the ice by 10 foot.
Freaking chopper going through the water.
Yeah. Yeah, see, and that's the part with airboats. I'm not sure. I don't know a whole lot about them, but there's a wide variety of engine setups, right? You have guys that are running the ultra lightweight, you know, 100 horsepower airplane engines, you know, just a straight aircraft, air cooled, you know, basic setup on like a 16-foot boat. And then you got the guys that run like a 18-foot boat and it's got a big block Chevy on the back and it's just massive.
Yep.
You know,
I'm sure there's some science.
Tons of horsepower, and I don't know how fast you really need to go. Like that's the point where, do you need the extra horsepower just to get you moving? So you're not like, you can take it on grass and like high friction stuff.
I don't know. I feel like it's a lot of RPM is really where you're at, not necessarily horsepower.
Well, some of them have like a gear drive set up where they're like gearing everything down to drive a huge prop, you know, just slower.
Mm. Yep.
So that those are the ones that really like make some chopping noise, like airplane noise.
Yep.
Really, really breaking up the air. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know enough about them.
I don't know much about airboats, but that would be pretty sweet. In this day and age, I think they're going to make a little bit of a comeback. Mark my
words. Low water everywhere.
Low water.
No ice.
No ice. A little bit ice.
Yeah.
Some ice. Half water, some ice, whatever, right?
Then you can get out fishing.
Yep.
No matter what.
That's what it's all about, definitely.
Yep.
Because, at this rate, we talked before the podcast, but might as well get your long rods back out for another couple weeks.
Yeah, but I don't know how to catch fishing right now anyways.
Yeah, there you go.
Like open water this late in the season, I can't catch nothing.
Yeah, good luck.
I don't know how it works. Out.
Get a pattern going, Brett.
Yeah.
Well, you got all this free time, you can go out there and try it out too. So
that's good. Yeah, this commute back and forth pretty much eats my free time now.
Yeah, there you go.
My hour and a half a day of free time is spent driving.
Yep.
Listening to the Short Rod Show.
Exactly. Start getting caught up. I would like to go back through our catalog just to refresh our memory. That is on
which episodes?
Everything.
Yeah.
Yes, just start from the beginning. I don't know how many hours of episodes we have, but it's substantial now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's getting up there.
Yep.
I don't know. I haven't been keeping up on the download count lately.
Yeah, we're up over 150K.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, yeah. We've been out there a little bit, so.
Yeah,
and then it's funny because every now and then there'll just be little gems of episodes that pick up just a bunch of downloads. I don't know.
They just start getting pushed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that happens, though, because we're not really pushing them.
The algorithm, man. It's the almighty algorithm.
Whatever they recommend, yep.
Yep.
Go back to season two of the Short Rod Show, right?
Season one.
Season
one. We really want to get where we got our, that's where we got our start.
Yep. Not too bad.
Yeah.
Well, Brett.
Well, Ben. Yeah.
Yeah, see? So everyone is always commenting about how they want more content. You and I get together. We got 48 minutes or
so.
That's
a long one. That's a long one.
That's long for us. And then Alex and I get together, and we just kept going. It was like an hour and a half.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I like to just get to the point.
I know. You only put up with so much of my stuff, and then you cut me off. I'm like, all right, we gotta wrap this up.
So, I mean, I do have half a beer yet in my Master Bait and Tackle koozie.
There you go. Like, you got the
koozie. That was a real sad deal when that bait shop closed down.
I didn't realize that was an actual bait shop somewhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah, on the East Shore. Master Bait and Tackle.
There you go.
At the Pit Stop, Clear Lake, Iowa.
The Pit Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was out in Ventura.
Other side. East side.
Oh, the east side. I thought you said the west side.
I might have.
I think you did.
I meant the east side.
That's all right. Heck, yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're kind of running out of topic here, so I think we'll let you all go. And
hope for some ice, or you're going to get some more rambling episodes here pretty quick.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. But, yeah, hopefully somebody out there is on the ice making the trek up to way further north than where we are. But anyway, have a good Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you, Ben.
Absolutely. Well, we'll catch you next time on
The Short Rod Show.